Welcome back to episode 205 of Your Best Year Starts Here. And for anyone that thought we were only coming back for one, nah, that ain't happening. So come on in, Nigel. We were talking about big lessons. What's one of yours from the last 6 months where we were off air?
Sometimes you need to see where you've come from in order to see how far you've come without worrying about how far you've got to go. We're on a long journey. Yeah, I reached 60 this year. Hard to believe with this face, I know. But I reached 60. And I've done a lot in 45 years because I started literally at age 15 working.
Yep.
So in 45 years, I've done a lot. And I've still got a lot to do. But sometimes, you know, the pension laws have all changed. We've just had a budget and everything else. And instead of worrying about necessarily all the time how far I've got to go, sometimes it's quite interesting to see where you've come from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the positive to that is that I've achieved quite a lot and I've still got a great family and I've got great kids and I've got two great grandchildren. So I'm blessed in a way. There are certain things I'd like to achieve over the next 5-10 years. I think 70 is long enough for me to be speaking. But I think, you know, I've got a 10-year period to really have some fun.
Yep.
But what I've realized is I don't have to be pushing, which is something we said in the last episode, as much. And although business is a bit weird, so internationally I'm manic at the moment, it will come. You know, build it and it will come is true, but you've got to take action.
Yep.
And instead of feeling sorry for yourself when you have a quiet day, sometimes you've got to ask yourself, what do you love doing? Who are you being? Are you enjoying the journey? And ringing people out of desperation saying, I was just passing. I just thought that may not be the right way to do things. But it is okay to go back to your existing clients. It is okay to say, how's it going? What's going on? You know, whatever you might be doing, because work is strange at the moment. That's what I'm finding. Mm-hmm. Not everyone will, but mm-hmm. I'm finding it a little bit strange. And I've got to make the decision, how far do I want to push? How far do I want to go? And right now I'm having lots of fun. I'm watching lots of TV, by the way, but I'm having lots of fun. But I'm looking after me. And I've just had, you know, some more medical stuff, you know, had a bit of a rough start to the year. And now I've got a chance to have some fun mm-hmm. over the next 10 years. And I'm planning over a 10-year period. Mm-hmm. You know, and instead of trying to do everything tomorrow, I've got 10 years to play. And that's quite a nice way to go because I'm at the end in a way.
Yep.
60 to 70 is my 10 years of working hard but having fun along the way. And I don't want to get to 70 and think, you know what I should have done. Mm-hmm. So I want to do all of my little things so I don't live a life of regret. So my big lesson for me is it's okay to have fun. It's okay to have some downtime. And occasionally it's okay to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting good sometimes at that. I quite enjoy getting up a little bit later, walking the dog, who's still as mad as ever. And instead of having that hustle all the time, which is what got me ill to start with,
yep.
What do I want to achieve over the next week, month, 5 years, 10 years? But I do know that 1 year from now, I wish I started today. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a bit of marketing. I've got a new agency doing some other work with me. We're going to revamp some of the website. We've got our personality assessment tool. We've got some more zookeepers around the world. So life's pretty good if someone was to look at what I'm doing.
Yep.
And it's okay to feel sorry for yourself for 5 minutes, but it's not going to help you wallowing in shit because
mm-hmm.
it stinks after a while. Mm-hmm. That's what I've learned.
I mean, I think there's a couple of things in there. One is something we talked about way back. Like anyone that was listening to us from the beginning will have heard us talk about this. If you haven't, go back to the beginning and you'll find it, right? We did an episode where we were talking about victory logs and about how to celebrate your wins and celebrate your successes. And I think, you know, in fact, I was with a client today where we were talking about this. It's a small team in this business. And when you've got a small team and you're sitting at the top of said small team, it's really easy to praise other people for their successes, but who's praising you? Right? Who's celebrating you? So you've got to become your own cheerleader. You've got to do that for yourself. And so I think one aspect to this is how well do you celebrate your victories? And if you were saying, you know, see how far you've come. If you look back and you see how far forward you've come, guess what else you do? I think you give fuel to where you're going. You add momentum to your future by saying, hang on a minute. If I've managed to do all of this so far, there's nothing to stop me going where I want to go next, right? It's that thing that pushes you and gives you the belief if you remember where, you know, the struggles you had and how they're not a challenge at all anymore. Like that, that's part of it. I think the other big thing for me, and this is another one of my big learnings from the last 6 months or so, sometimes the best way to speed up is to slow down. And I know that sounds ridiculously counterintuitive. And there'll be some people listening to this right now and they're going, Neil, what are you talking about? How can you go faster by going slower? How does that even work, right? I think you achieve bigger, better quality things when you don't rush. And I think by achieving bigger and better quality things, you actually move yourself further forward, even if you take a little bit more time to get there.
Measure twice, cut once.
Exactly that. You know, or it's that thing about, you know, if I've got to cut down a tree and I've got 10 hours, I spend 9 hours sharpening the axe. It's that kind of thing, right? It's like, how do you slow yourself down enough to really appreciate the journey as well? You know, someone, in fact, good example of this, the first time I ran an ultra marathon, so this is back in 2013, okay, and I ran 107 miles in the space of 4 days. And a friend of mine that had done, you know, ultra marathons before, guy is actually based in the US, and we were having a Skype call, and I said to him, Matt, I said, you know, you've run ultras before. What's your one bit of advice you'd give for like an ultra marathon virgin? You know, someone's never done this before. What's one bit of advice you'd give me? And he said, if you're not enjoying the view, you're running too fast. I'm like, hey, he said, if you're at the point where you're in pain too early on and you're not enjoying the journey, you've pushed yourself too hard, slow down. And it made sense in that environment. I think it's taken me nearly another 10 years to go, actually, that applies everywhere.
So you weren't ready for the message. This is really a big learning. You weren't ready for that message when it was first given to you. And I often say to an audience, sometimes you're going to hear a message and it doesn't land because you're not in the right place to hear it, even though it was the right message. Well, and then sometimes you hear that message that, you know, if you're running too fast and you're not watching the view, you know, it's not right for you.
I think to some extent I heard it in one context and didn't extrapolate it to every other one.
Or right? You took it too literally.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. It was like, okay, it applies to this thing. And there's been a couple of times in my life since where I've gone, yeah, okay, it applies in other things. But it's really hit home for me in the last 6-7 months. You know, I've made some shifts in a few things in my life in that time. And I've learned to appreciate stuff that I maybe took for granted before. I've learned to pause a little bit. I've learned to, you know, my work-life balance is probably better than it's ever been. As in when I, you know, when I get to the end of a day, I'm kind of reviewing that day, planning the next one, and then I'm switched off. You know, my, like working on weekends and stuff, it's, if it's happening, it's with intention as opposed to because it has to. You know, it's out of choice and it's for a short period. Because I'm choosing to do it because it's something I want to do that I see benefits me as well as, you know, other people. It's not something I'm doing because I feel like I have to, or like I feel like that's the right, a bit like you said about, you know, the whole hustle harder type mentality. I don't want to hustle harder. I want to enjoy my life and I want to work hard enough and effectively enough and efficiently enough that I'm getting a result for me, that I'm getting results for my clients, that all of the things that I'm doing are working the way they should be. But also that I'm present for every part of my life. So if I'm with my, you know, if I'm with my partner, I'm present with her. Yeah, if we're with the kids, I'm present for the kids. If I'm going and visiting my mum and having a cup of tea, I'm present for my mum. You know, if I'm working, I'm present for work. I'm present for the client. I'm present for whatever it is. I want to be in that moment and appreciating it. And I think for, you know, and this is a quite a vulnerable thing to admit, but I think for a large chunk of my life, I was almost living in the future. It was like, I know where I want to be, so I'm focusing on being there, not where I actually am. And I've learned to slow down really, enough and just take down, this Neil. On board.
Let's chunk that really down. So you weren't in the room at the right time
exactly.
with the people.
Exactly. But no one else would have known that or not fully been aware of that because I'd have looked like
I was
in the room.
Well, I'll put money on, see, Neil, I'm going to disagree with you. Your kids, your partner, some of your clients – and, you know, I'm guilty of this as well. I'm good about being in the room, and I always share when I'm with an audience. The only people I love at this moment in time is the people I'm with.
Yep.
And then my phone vibrates. And so you've got to be really careful that it takes so little to be distracted.
Yep.
It takes so little. And you've got to really make a decision, which is why smaller chunks of work with maximum attention in that moment in time. So, you know, I was coaching somebody today and I said, you know, this guy had three young kids, mm-hmm. 10, 8, and 6. Mm-hmm. I said, when you first come home, how often are you holding your phone when you go through the door? Mm-hmm. And I just watched this face drop. And it was, ironically, it was on Zoom. I'm not doing many Zoom coaching calls anymore, but I just watched this guy's face drop. Mm-hmm. I said, you'd be better to spend 10 minutes, come home 10 minutes later, than be in the room for the first 40 minutes, mm-hmm. and then say, I need an hour to do some other work. But as you walk through the door and you've got three young kids running towards you,
yep.
that moment is precious.
Yep.
And I then asked the following question. In the morning, you're like this question, because you'll have done this, because you've got still got a young child somewhere in the in your...
Youngish, stress. Teenager, but yeah, youngish.
Yeah. If you looked at from when she first wakes up in the morning to when either she goes to school or goes out on a Saturday morning... Mm-hmm. If you were to look at how much positive communication is done in that first hour compared to, are you up? Have you washed? Have you brushed your teeth? Have you got your school bag? Have you eaten? Have you got all that stuff? You'd be amazed over the first hour of their most important part of the day, how much is empowering communication mm-hmm. compared to disempowering communication. Mm-hmm. And then when they come home from school, depending on whether you're mum, dad, care, or whatever you might be, that first hour, how much is inspiring or empowering communication? And this guy today went, I reckon in an average day, there's 2 minutes of good communication. And I was really shocked at his honesty. Mm. I said, so you're the person responsible and you're working this hard for these three people, but we're disempowering them because you think school is going to empower them and your school teachers think the parents are going to empower them. Mm. We all need to think about the same with us.
Yeah, I mean,
how much time is our positive self-talk lifting our business up?
Yep.
Compared to destroying our self-esteem.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's a couple of things in there. I think one, you know, for me personally, I am very conscious of the communications I have with other people because of what I do for a living. Right, so you know, I'm very aware of. I want my daughter going to school in a good mood. Like, you know, I want her all happy and bouncy and stuff in the morning. So I work on that stuff. I try not to be, I'm not saying I'm never the dad that's like, come on, we need to be getting out the door now. But I try not to be that dad. I try to be the encouraging dad rather than
just the, for the record, I've got her on speed dial.
You
when
go
we
for
finish,
it.
I'm going to ring her and ask her.
You go for it because she should confirm what I'm saying, right? But, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm aware of it. And I think a lot of this is awareness, right? I think the other two other things are saying there, the self-talk, you know, how can you motivate other people if you don't motivate yourself, right? So your self-talk is critical. And then the other thing is just to kind of second what you've just said. I had one of my clients that I was coaching recently where when we were talking through his most important actions kind of to happen between sessions, top of the list was take your wife on a date because he'd been working stupid hours. And exactly the sort of scenario you just described. And I was like, you need to get a date night in here. You know, that is the critical thing for you right now. The work stuff's all important and I see what you're doing with your business, but what are you actually doing it for? Don't lose sight of that. You know, and yeah. I think actually that's a good place to wrap an episode up, don't you? What are you doing it for?
Let's just do a challenge. Let's just do a challenge for everyone. How much positive self-talk are you doing from the time either your kids or your wife or husband wakes up till you leave them in that first hour? And how much positive self-talk are you doing in the first hour when your kids or partner comes home? And I promise you, you will be shocked at how little positive communication goes on in your house. I'll see you next week.
And I'd extend it to in your head. Focus on that one too.
I didn't say that one. I just said external.